And now, Tucson's Hispanic Voices with Steve Nunez.
Lost in the cloud of dust to overturn the 2020 presidential election was a monumental and historical election victory for Hispanics right here in Arizona.
It's shocking that it took this long.
Native Tucsonan Leah Marquez Peterson and Anna Tovar of Phoenix became the first Latinas elected to statewide office in Arizona to serve on the five-person board of the Arizona Corporation Commission that regulates utilities, railroads, pipelines, and securities in the state. Both received more than 1.4 million votes, the last Latino candidate to win a statewide race.
It is up to you, and that's the way we wanted it.
Was Raul Castro, who was elected governor in 1974. Marquez Peterson, who led the Tucson Hispanic Chamber of Commerce for more than a decade, was appointed to the commission by Governor Ducey in 2019. Let's celebrate Leah Marquez Peterson's historical achievement and honor her growing legacy in politics and as a role model for other up-and-coming Latinas. Good morning, happy Saturday, and welcome to Tucson's Hispanic Voices. I'm Steve Nunez. My goal is to bring diversity into the conversation by giving voice to Hispanics and share their stories of success. As mentioned, my guest today is Leah Marquez Peterson. Besides being the first Hispanic woman to serve in a statewide seat in the history of Arizona, Leah's path to the Arizona Corporation Commission may have started in 1998 when she owned six gas stations and had to battle regulations. Her accomplishments, including serving on numerous boards of directors, is too many to list. Let's get to know Leah and learn from her success.
Leah Marquez Peterson, welcome to Tucson's Hispanic Voices.
Thank you, Steve. Great to be on your show.
And first of all, I want to congratulate you on becoming one of two Latinas as the first in Arizona history to be elected to statewide office as a commissioner of
Thank
the Arizona
you.
Corporation Commission. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. It's quite an honor and very exciting. I'm continuing my role on the commission. I was appointed about a year and a half ago by Governor Ducey and very proud to have been elected to the seat to serve a four-year term.
How does it feel to make history in your wonderful home state of Arizona? This is huge.
Yeah, you know, honestly, I was shocked to learn when I was appointed. I was the first Latina in any statewide public office and thought, how could this be? It's 2019 at the time when I was appointed, and now to be elected to the seat in 2020, it's shocking that it took this long. There was a statewide seat holder, Jaime Moleto, in years ago, and then, of course, Governor Castro in the 70s. So there are others before me, but I can't believe we've had such a huge gap in time since others have served.
Has it hit you yet that you are the first Latina elected to a statewide office?
Probably not. I mean, I had others ask me, what does it mean? How do you feel about it? And really, I mean, what an honor to be perhaps a role model for others that are looking to serve, whether it's on a board or a commission or an elected office. And I know, just having served as the president of the Tucson Hispanic Chamber in the past, how important it is for children to see role models to positions that they might aspire to. So I don't think it's quite hit me yet, but I mean, what an honor. I can't even say enough about it.
And speaking of young Latinas seeing you as a role model, what advice do you have for them?
Well, I would say to be a voice. Oftentimes I hear from people that I know, and unfortunately a lot of those in the Latino community, about their lack of voting, not thinking that their voice matters, that they're only one vote, and saying that I got involved, you know, as a new business owner in Tucson back in the late 90s by serving on different boards and getting involved in committees and joining the Hispanic Chamber and other entities like that. And it's important that we speak up and have a voice and talk about the impact of policies and initiatives on our families, on our homes, on our businesses. And who knows where it goes from there. I never knew it would lead me to run for Congress in the Tucson area like I did in 2018, nor would it lead me to this statewide seat. I didn't necessarily have political aspirations. I just wanted to provide solutions and to serve, and this is where it's led me over time. So my best advice would be to get involved and have a voice.
As far as political aspirations, now that you are involved politically, where do you go from here?
You know, where I have been totally focused now is just doing my very best job at representing people throughout the state at the Corporation Commission. I've learned, Steve, that most people don't have any idea what we do, and we have quite a breadth of services we provide by regulating the utility industry and incorporating all the businesses in the state and handling the securities throughout the state. So I want to make sure that I'm representing the voice of all of Arizona. I'm the only commissioner of the five that's based outside of Maricopa County. And having grown up in southern Arizona, I know how much we believe everything revolves around Maricopa County or Phoenix. But it's important to me that I represent the voices of southern Arizona, rural Arizona, all throughout the state also, tribal communities and so on. So I'm excited about outreach to communities in all different parts of the state and making sure their voices are heard when it comes to utility rate cases and economic development.
Do you think you'll be that voice that will be able to resonate within the Latino community to be able to provide that education on what exactly the Arizona Corporation Commission is and how important it is to our everyday lives? As far as the decisions you are making, because the decisions you are making are extremely important to all of us.
Yeah, I think few people realize we really do impact all of the families and businesses across the state who have utility bills from sewer to water to gas and electric and so on. We also handle railroad and pipeline safety, so really impacts so many different industries. One of my priorities when I was appointed to the position last year was to ensure that I was doing outreach to not only the English media, but the Spanish media and translating my own press releases and communication into Spanish and getting that out into the community to ensure that everybody knew that issue was coming up that they could speak up to or call into a public comment session. So I plan to continue to do that. And I think making sure that I'm doing outreach, I come from a chamber of commerce and small business background. So it's important to me to do outreach to chambers and rotaries and Kiwana groups and any other group that would like to learn about the Corporation Commission and perhaps have input through me, happy to do so. So I think people will continue to see me with my focus on community involvement.
As the former president and CEO of the Tucson Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, how has that experience helped you in where you're at today as an ACC commissioner?
Yeah, it's been very helpful. As a Chamber of Commerce president, I would learn and get to know about so many different industries and really understand the details it took for a company to thrive or grow in southern Arizona, where we operated at the Tucson Hispanic Chamber. That experience has been very helpful. As I mentioned earlier, at the Corporation Commission, we incorporate all the businesses in the state. So want to ensure that that system is easy and accessible and streamlined, that we are careful about the costs associated with it because so many startup businesses, you know, are struggling at the very beginning. And from a utility rate perspective, knowing that after your rent or mortgage, your utility rate is cost is really the next biggest bill your family or your business might be facing. And I've made a lot of connections and a lot of friends and colleagues throughout the state in my role at the Tucson Hispanic Chamber. So I'm making sure to continue that outreach and get their perspective as rate cases come up in their communities in particular throughout the state.
Who has been your biggest inspiration in life? And I'm sure there are many people to name, including, of course, your wonderful parents. So feel free to recognize all the people who have made a huge impact in shaping the person you are today and the success you have achieved today.
Yeah, that's a tough one, Steve. I thought of my parents and my brother. We're a very close-knit family.
I knew you would.
You knew I was going there. My brother Edmund and I have really grown up with parents who told us we can do all we set our mind to always be ambitious and to be the very best at what we do. And so that's probably been my greatest inspiration. I never grew up thinking that I would be the president and CEO of the Tucson Hispanic Chamber. It just was me taking different life choices and running for office and so on, having the confidence that I would do a good job serving the people of Southern Arizona, or now in this case, the state of Arizona. I think that confidence really just came from my parents, and I think my brother and I would both say that. And there's still the three people, besides my husband and my children in some cases, that I rely on the most for advice and guidance as I move forward with different endeavors in my life and things I'm involved in. But I think it still comes down to my parents, my brother, and my husband.
And of course, the old family saying, as far as your family is concerned, Life is choices. Choices are consequences.
Wow, how did you know that?
That's because exactly. Edmund tells me that every time I talk to him.
I know. Growing up in my household, that was the answer my mother gave us for everything, whether we were doing something in high school or college or making decisions now. Life is choices and consequences, so make the right choices.
When we come back, we'll ask Leah Marquez Peterson about her top three priorities she'd like to accomplish as an Arizona Corporation Commissioner and what it means for you and your utility rates. In support of Tucson's Hispanic Voices, please make sure to support our sponsors, MPG Tire and Auto, going the extra mile for you and your vehicle, Nova Home Loans, the best combination of rates, fees, and services since 1980, the law office of Natalie H. Haywood. She's more than just a criminal defense attorney. She's an advocate for human rights. And theme music composed by local guitarist Gabriel Francisco Romo.
Listening to Tucson's Hispanic Voices with Steve Nunez. We'll be right back. And now, Tucson's Hispanic Voices with Steve Nunez.
Welcome back to Tucson's Hispanic Voices. I'm Steve Nunez. While serving as president and CEO of the Tucson Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, Leah Marquez Peterson helped advocate for more than 1,800 small businesses across southern Arizona. Under Leah's leadership, the chamber received national recognition as Hispanic Chamber of the Year. Let's continue our conversation with Leah Marquez Peterson. Again, she's the first Latina elected to statewide office as a commissioner on the Arizona Corporation Commission.
What are your success habits?
What are my success habits?
What do you do every day that just drives your motivation and drives that success, drives those positive thoughts that make you so productive and positive and basically achieve all those goals that pop into your head?
That is a good question. I think it's probably my way of thinking about things. As I'm in a meeting or on a board, because I still serve on a lot of boards in southern Arizona, and we have a challenge, I try to think of solutions or collaborations and what I can do to help move the conversation forward and start putting those steps in place. I typically don't shy away from things, even if they're tough or they're very challenging, but really rely on my own network of friends and colleagues and work on what are the steps I need to achieve that. I'm often asked how I can still serve on, I think I serve on 10 boards of directors right now besides my commission position. And other things I do, and people often ask, how do you do that? And it's really just being very organized with my calendar and my priorities and really systematically thinking about solutions, if that makes sense.
It does make sense. Talk to us about the ACC, and once again, tell us how important it is to our daily lives. And for those who may not know, what companies does the Arizona Corporation Commission regulate? And why is that important?
Right. So during my campaign and even prior to that, as I was appointed, I realized early on that few people knew really about the breadth of the work we do at the Corporation Commission. So we regulate the utility industry, which is electric, water, gas, and wastewater that are privately owned, investor owned. So in southern Arizona, that's Tucson Electric Power, that's Southwest Gas, that's Trico. In addition to that, we handle railroad and pipeline safety. We incorporate all the businesses in the state of Arizona. So one of the first steps for small business owners is getting incorporated through our website. And then we also handle securities fraud. So we protect Arizonans against securities fraud. So it really impacts so many families and businesses across the state. A lot of our work is rural communities as well as urban and Phoenix and Tucson. So it's been really interesting to meet folks around the state as I've served as a commissioner now for the last year and a half and as I campaigned during the last year also.
What are your top three priorities that you think you need to achieve on the ACC within the next couple of years? You obviously are going to serve the next 4 years on the commission. What are those priorities going to be?
Yeah, I would say they are first and foremost involving the communities, the public, in the many rate cases we see. We We judge. We are like in a judicial role for some 70 to 80 rate cases a year, including the big ones, APS, Tucson Electric Power, Southwest Gas, but so many others. We regulate more than 300 water companies in the state. So I'd like to involve the community more, and that's a goal I have of doing outreach to the community, to making sure that the information we're looking at is very transparent and the public can see it. My second goal, and I've been pretty passionate about this, is broadband access and to vulnerable populations. During the pandemic, it was really highlighted how challenging it is for a lot of the students that were doing remote working who needed high-speed internet and simply didn't have it, couldn't afford it, or there wasn't access to broadband or high-speed internet at their home. So I've been working on a statewide task force over the last 9 months that's focused on broadband access. And I'm actually on a national committee also through the Regulated Utility Commissioner organization that I'm a member of that's focusing on what are we doing nationally. So that's a priority to do all I can to help provide broadband access, especially to the most vulnerable populations in Arizona. Third, I did mention earlier we regulate more than 300 water companies. We have, you know, half a dozen that are very large water companies, and these are not the city, not like Tucson Water. We don't regulate them if they're municipally owned or managed. We regulate the private water companies. So a lot of these are started by developers years ago, generations ago, and I think we have some improvements we need to make, some efficiencies, how to streamline their rate process, make sure we're providing the best quality water and quality of service to ratepayers in all of their communities. So that's an area I've done a lot of work on at the commission so far, and I plan to continue that over the next couple of years.
Back to priority number two, the broadband expansion that is needed, especially for underprivileged communities. How soon or how fast do you think you can make those changes that you just described? Because as we've seen, especially on the South Side, we're hearing stories about kids having to go to nearby Walmarts or stores where they have free Wi-Fi and logging on to the internet just to take their remote online courses, which is so sad to hear. But that's a reality with the situation we're faced with in our community.
Yeah. So this, obviously, as I mentioned, became so highlighted during at the beginning of the pandemic in March or so when folks started or children started working and learning from home. And so the state wide broadband task force I've been serving on was exactly about that. It was, what can we do immediately? There's lots of long-term solutions. Yes, we need more resources and money to lay fiber into these different communities, but what can we do now? Because these kids are without or not able to go to school because of the remote work situation, remote learning situation, and not having high-speed internet. So I will tell you the heroes to me during the pandemic are really our Arizona State Library. They put up a website, which is connect-arizona.com. Through our task force, connect-arizona.com. And on that website, families across the state could see where there are high-speed public Wi-Fi spots so that at least they could get online right away. They could find out where there are low-cost devices, where there are discounted or low-income internet packages that they could take advantage of. And once the library's got this website up, we started adding to it other sites, whether it's retail or libraries or state buildings or municipal buildings to the site so we could have as comprehensive a site as possible. That's the short-term solution, is find a public Wi-Fi spot in your area. The second thing we've been working on is really supporting the work that Governor Ducey has been doing through his broadband efforts of how do we get fiber out to communities, special tribal and rural communities that don't have access. Thirdly, we've been working with the State Department of Education, who's done a great job trying to bring innovative ideas to school districts and partnerships with a lot of the telecom companies. I know, as an example, Sunnyside School District had put public Wi-Fi spots on some of their buses at the beginning of the virus,
yes.
And it put those out in neighborhoods, which is an awesome idea, and because you weren't using the buses, right? So might as well get them out there and make those as useful as possible. And I think there are those ideas as well as other innovative ideas to help in the short term. In the long term, that's some of the stuff I'm trying to tackle at the commission. We actually regulate some of the surcharges on your telecom bill now. And so my analysis and my staff's analysis of where is that money going, what's the very best use of those dollars, how can we encourage the telecom companies to lay more fiber out to communities that are really struggling. There are federal programs we're trying to maximize the use of. There's a lot that's going on in the process, and I'm happy to, you know, be there with the Corporation Commission to support the efforts that are happening throughout the state.
Still to come on Tucson's Hispanic Voices, Neomaticus Peterson has advice on how to balance work life with family life as a mother, wife, daughter, and sister of a tight-knit business family. In support of Tucson's Hispanic Voices, please make sure to support our sponsors, MPG Tire and Auto, going the extra mile for you and your vehicle, Nova Home Loans, the best combination of rates, fees, and services since 1980, the law office of Natalie H. Haywood. She's more than just a criminal defense attorney, she's an advocate for human rights. And theme music, composed by local guitarist Gabriel Francisco Romo.
You're listening to Tucson's Hispanic Voices with Steve Nunez. We'll be right back. And now, Tucson's Hispanic Voices with Steve Nunez.
Lost in the cloud of dust to overturn the 2020 presidential election was a monumental and historical election victory for Hispanics right here in Arizona.
And now to be elected to the seat in 2020, it's shocking that it took this long.
Native Tucsonan Leah Marquez Peterson and Anna Tovar of Phoenix became the first Latinas elected to statewide office in Arizona to serve on the five-person board of the Arizona Corporation Commission that regulates utilities, railroads, pipelines, and securities in the state. Both received more than 1.4 million votes, the last Latino candidate to win a statewide race.
It is up to you, and that's the way we wanted it.
Was Raul Castro, who was elected governor in 1974. Marquez Peterson, who led the Tucson Hispanic Chamber of Commerce for more than a decade, was appointed to the commission by Governor Ducey in 2019.
What an honor to be perhaps a role model for others that are looking to serve, whether it's on a board or commission or an elected office.
Let's celebrate Leah Marquez Peterson's historical achievement and honor her growing legacy in politics and as a role model for other up-and-coming Latinas. Welcome back to Tucson's Hispanic Voices. I'm Steve Nunez. My guest today is Leah Marquez Peterson. She's the first Latina elected to statewide office as a commissioner on the Arizona Corporation Commission. As if that's not enough, Leah also chairs the board of directors of Carondelet St. Mary's and St. Joseph's Hospitals. She also serves on the boards of the University of Arizona Foundation and Pima County Workforce Investments Board and is the president of the National Association of Women Business Owners in Tucson.
Especially this past summer, during the pandemic, with so many people out of work and unable to pay utility bills, mainly electricity, what's the plan to keep rates from going up or to provide continued relief now that we're hitting the winter months and we're kind of faced with the same situation with people needing to use more electricity just to stay warm?
Yeah, and that's a great question, Steve. So when I was appointed last summer, we had, you know, extremely high heat, and we put in place a moratorium where people could not get disconnected during these very high heat periods if they couldn't pay their bill. That moratorium on disconnections kind of continued or morphed into what happened with coronavirus in March. We immediately had a meeting with all the utility companies, telecom, water, gas, electricity, and had commitments from the utility CEOs that they would not disconnect during the coronavirus and would, and a lot of them have funded a lot more money into our low-income programs, which are dispersed through our county community action centers. So great resource for the community. The challenges we've had, though, is that so many people have been furloughed and financially impacted that aren't aware that those resources are there. So I'm hoping that maybe folks listening now, if they're having a hard time making that utility payment, will first and foremost contact their utility company, and secondly, reach out in Pima County's case to the Pima County One Stop Center, which can provide a lot of different resources and tools to help a family during these very tough times. So we are right now, even next week during our open meeting, discussing how we handle the past due arrears amount. Are there incentive programs to get people to start making payments so that this doesn't continue to balloon and grow? And different low-income family programs that we can help put in place. So there's a lot of dialogue still going on now at the commission.
You used to own a couple of gas stations. How did that experience prepare you for being a commissioner?
Yeah, I actually had 6 gas stations in Tucson back in the day, late 90s, early 2000s. And, you know, it really makes me, I guess, sensitive to the challenges that so many small businesses are facing today. You know, I've heard so many stories, especially from my past members at the Tucson Hispanic Chamber, too, that, you know, how to make payroll, if your market has completely changed. In the case of gas stations, actually, a lot less people were driving, and the use of oil and gas had dropped dramatically throughout the nation and throughout the world, I believe. There have been so many impacts on different industries. It's been very interesting to watch and to really encourage small businesses to reach out for, whether it's PPP loans or other grants or resources. I also realize that as a former small business owner with gas stations, there's not a lot of overhead or admin there. It was me and my managers and employees, and I had about 50 employees, and how tough that was because you're really responsible for so many different families. So really makes me empathize with a lot of the small business owners, especially the restaurant owners and retailers that are working hard to stay afloat and to survive during this pandemic.
The ACC is currently determining Arizona's energy goals. What exactly does that entail?
Yeah, so we are talking about some really important issues that will affect Arizona for decades. I'm very proud to have supported our recent vote on Arizona achieving 100% clean energy and 100% zero carbon emissions by 2050. So what that in essence means is, as commissioners, we are setting the goal, the priority for the state's future energy at 100% clean energy. And then we are also putting in place right now different parameters or guardrails, I guess you'd call it, for the utility companies to ensure that they're achieving those goals. So they need to grow and expand clean energy usage in the state of Arizona. You might ask, what is clean energy? Well, that's the use of nuclear energy. We have the big nuclear power plants in the Phoenix area. That's the use of renewables like solar and wind and biomass. It's the use of natural gas for the transition. But I think if anybody follows the energy market in the country, they realize that coal plants are really, you know, diminishing, and they're going to be closing coal plants over the next 20, 30, 40 years. We need to be talking now about what that transition will look like and what we want to achieve in Arizona. So though few people probably follow this at the commission, just know that we are really focusing Arizona's future energy goals on 100% clean energy to really produce the best quality air and water that we can in the state of Arizona in the future.
Leah, I've known you for years, and for years you've always been on the go. How do you balance your work life and constantly being on the go with family life as a mother, wife, daughter, sister, tia, family member, and everything else that you have besides just work? And your volunteerism.
How do I balance? Yeah. I guess for me, it's that downtime at home. I like to read a lot. That's my way of getting my mind out of whatever particular thing I'm working on. I love to go to movies and you know, think of different things from that regard, too. Of course, we're not going to many movies nowadays. So,
yeah.
But that's my way of just spending time with family and you know, making sure that I'm getting enough sleep and that I'm healthy as I go through all the different activities that I'm involved in. But that's really it for me, is just having that balance as I go through my week to ensure that, you know, that I keep all my balls in the air.
And once again, what does being the first Latina elected to a public statewide office and having that role mean to you?
It means I'm very proud. I'm proud of the work I had previously done. I'm very thankful to many friends and colleagues that have helped me along the way in terms of supporting me or my endeavor, like the Tucson Hispanic Chamber or my business in the past. So very proud to have accomplished this. I think it took way too long. It's a shame that it's 2019 when I was appointed 2020 to have Arizona have its first Latina. But I know I won't be the last, and I'm encouraging everyone out there to consider a role in public office. You know, it can be challenging at times, but I really have enjoyed the time I've been serving, and just very proud to be the first Latina in public office. It really is something to say.
When we come back, we'll have a little fun with Leah Marquez-Peterson with Tucson Hispanic Voices rapid fire of questions.
Who wins in an arm wrestle? You or your brother, Edmund Marquez? My bet is on you, but you tell me. In
In support of Tucson's Hispanic Voices, please make sure to support our sponsors, MPG Tire and Auto, going the extra mile for you and your vehicle, Nova Home Loans, the best combination of rates, fees, and services since 1980. The Law Office of Natalie H. Haywood. She's more than just a criminal defense attorney. She's an advocate for human rights. And theme music composed by local guitarist Gabriel Francisco Romo.
You're listening to Tucson's Hispanic Voices with Steve Nunez. We'll be right back. And now, Tucson's Hispanic Voices with Steve Nunez.
Welcome back to Tucson's Hispanic Voices. I'm Steve Nunez. The Arizona Corporation Commission has 5 members, each elected to 4-year terms. Arizona is one of only 13 states with elected commissioners. The mission of the commission, as established by the state constitution, is to power Arizona's future by ensuring safe, reliable, and affordable utility service. My guest today is Leah Marquez Peterson. She's the first Latina elected to a statewide office as a commissioner on the Arizona Corporation Commission.
What are the rights of citizens to challenge the location of power plants, more specifically, huge power poles in their communities? And I ask that because we've seen some of that over the years with certain neighborhoods launching protests against power utilities. You know, that not in my backyard type of protest.
Right. So we have a very comprehensive process for the public to weigh in. I mean, right now, actually, the Tucson Electric Power is looking at power lines that may go through the center of town near the University of Arizona. And I know I've heard from a number of families and folks from kind of central Tucson area, but we have a committee called the Line Siting Committee. They are volunteers, and they hold nonstop public meetings, a lot of them with the information that Tucson Electric Power has provided, and they gather information and testimony from all the neighborhood, and they help us to determine where that power line will go through that particular community, and then come forward to us at the commission with their recommendation. We've not seen that yet on behalf of the one that's near the U of A through TEP, but I expect them to start their public comment sessions probably in the new year, and then we would likely see something after the summer. But really do encourage people to speak up, to weigh in, to give opinion. I think that speaks back to my kind of priorities that I'd like to see as a commissioner going forward into this full 4-year term, is really engaging the public, you know, letting them understand that they absolutely have a voice. They can either email in. Now everything is on Zoom or online. They can watch the meetings. They can speak up during the meetings. Or they can call. But we want to make sure that we're hearing from folks as we tackle really challenging issues, such as line siting for power poles. But in the case of things coming up in Tucson, right now there is with the Line Siting Committee public comment session.
What's the first thing you do when you wake up in the morning that guides you to having a productive and successful day?
Probably look at my calendar. And I'm a slave to my calendar on what's next and make sure that I'm hitting the different goals and priorities that I have for that week, for that day, and maintaining that balance. But that's probably the first thing I do. I should say yoga or exercise, but that's not the first thing I do.
Not the first thing I do either. Unlike your brother who rides 30 miles, right. Rides his bike 30 miles. Yeah, that's not me.
Yeah, me either.
So what do you attribute your success to? And I'm asking these questions because I want to hear it from you. So hopefully it'll inspire others, including myself, on how to achieve higher success.
Yeah, I mean, what do I attribute my success to? I think in my case, it's probably just volunteering. It's there's an issue, there's a challenge. I try to be one of the first to maybe provide reasonable solutions and volunteer to help follow through with it. And again, having that voice, which we talked about, I know, in the last segment. A lot of times I've ended up in a leadership role in an organization because I volunteered to get involved. And spoke up and wrote a letter or represented a group. And then ultimately people came back and said, well, would you consider being on the board or being a chair or or president of the chamber or whatever it may be. A lot of that just really started from volunteering and paying attention and caring about the community.
And I want to thank you because every year you show up to my Christmas toy giveaway party that I partner with Nova Home Loans and John Volpe, president and CEO of Nova Home Loans. We started Miracle. This is our 18th year.
Wow.
And you show up every year to help out. So I want to give you major props for just coming unannounced. You reach out to me. I don't have to ask you. You just do it. So congratulations on that. I think that's a very important lesson we can all learn from. Volunteer.
Thank you, Stephen. Thank you for doing that for the community. I keep showing up because you're putting it on, pulling it together and, you know, providing for so many families. And how great to have Nova Home Loans and John Volpe, you know, helping fund a lot of that effort and support it. But thank you for doing that for our community.
Changing gears a little bit, what was the hardest decision you ever had to make?
Wow, what was the hardest decision? Probably as a gas station owner, we had some particular challenges with petty robberies and beer runs and just the stuff that, you know, was not the fun part of being a small business owner. And my husband and I made the decision to get out of the gas station business. We were probably in our early 30s at the time and thought we do not want to be doing this when we're in our 60s. It just felt dangerous at times, honestly, and the challenge of always retaining our employees was tough. So we took a year to get out of contracts, to sell gas stations, to do whatever we could. And the very final gas station we have, which was the Chevron at Grant Stone, we could not sell. We hadn't owned it long enough. We built it from ground up. So we had to auction that off to the bank. And that was probably the hardest decision that we had to make. But we were ready to move on. My husband had a different career in healthcare, and I was ready to do something different. So making that whole decision to get out of the industry was probably the toughest thing that we had to do.
Is there anything you would do differently in achieving success?
In achieving success in small business in particular? Or?
Just overall. In achieving success as a small business owner, in achieving success as president CEO of the Tucson Hispanic Chamber, in achieving success, and even though you did not win a seat in Congress, that's still successful. You ran a successful campaign in being genuine to who you are. And now you've run a campaign and you are serving as the first Latina on the Arizona Corporation Commission. Is there anything you would do differently? Would you change things around and maybe have run for office sooner or maybe not?
No, I probably wouldn't have run for office sooner. I think it was meant to be when it came about and there was an opportunity because at the time, Congresswoman McSally was moving on to run for Senate, which provided that opportunity. Back in the days of starting my very first small business with the gas stations, probably in hindsight, I might have not grown as quickly as I did. It was a different financial market at the time, and I was very ambitious, as I generally am in the industries I'm in. But in that case, we grew really fast, and maybe in hindsight, I would have done that a little slower. But, you know, I think the rest of it, the chamber and politics and even the role of the commission, no, I wouldn't have done anything different. I think I've tried to be thoughtful in my response and the direction I've taken with all of those different roles that I've had and feel good about, I guess, the decisions that I've made in the past.
I've known you for years. I also know that you have a game plan to map out your career path. What's next after the Arizona Corporation Commission? Another run for Congress? Or to become Arizona's first Latina governor?
I'm not sure yet. We'll see where things go. I did not have the Corporation Commission on my radar prior to getting appointed by Governor Ducey, and now look where I'm at. So I think, as my mother always says, life is choices and consequences. I think as that choice comes before me, that T in the road or whatever it is, I will determine then kind of what's the best choice for me, for my family, for my kids, and my community and so on, and go from there. So I don't know where we're going next, but I'm just going to focus now on doing my very best effort, my very best job as a corporation commissioner for the state.
We have just a couple of minutes left. So before we go, I have a rapid fire of questions to ask you. It's all in fun and all about being from Tucson.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I hope so. Go ahead.
Okay. Here we go. El Minuto or El Charro?
El Charro.
What's your favorite dish?
Oh, gosh. I eat Carlota's salad a lot because I'm trying to be healthy, but I love her chicken enchiladas also.
I do too. I actually like the carne seca enchiladas.
Oh, yes.
And which enchilada is your favorite? Yes. The cafe?
Oh, God.
Steakhouse? Vida?
I'd go for the cafe. Enchilada. It's the original, the cafe downtown, and I really enjoy that, and I like their Toma Bar area, and have had lots of meetings there.
I agree with you. Yes, remember, we used to have meetings there for the chamber.
Yeah, that's right.
EG's or Raspados?
Oh, probably EG's. I'd have to be loyal. My brother worked for EG's right out of college. So
that's right.
We've eaten a lot of EG's in our family.
Flavor?
I don't know. Maybe cherry.
Oh, okay. Red menudo or white menudo?
Red. Grew up on red menudo.
I agree with you on that, too. Gem Show, the 4th Avenue Street Fair, or the Book Fair? Which is your favorite?
Oh, wow. Those are tough. But I will say the Book Fair. I am one. I tell my family, you know, I'm going to book the whole time. I'm not going to miss any of it. And I try to hit every lecture and go to every booth. I just love the Book Fair.
Barrio Brewery or Sonoita Wine Vineyards?
Oh, I would probably do Sonoita Wine Vineyards. I like going down there with my husband and going winery to winery and spending the weekend. And I think it's a hidden gem. Most people don't know we have wineries in Southern Arizona, and it's a really great asset to Southern Arizona.
I asked you that question because I saw your Facebook post.
And you know, I'm down there. That's right. I've even gone during the pandemic.
And last but not least, who wins in an arm wrestle, you or your brother, Edmund Marcus? My bet is on you, but you tell me.
Oh, God. In an arm wrestle, he's the guy that works out all the time. It's probably him.
I doubt it. I doubt it. I seriously doubt it. But okay, I'll give you that answer. Leah Marcus Peterson, thank you for being my guest on Tucson's Hispanic Voices. Of course, you are always welcomed on my show. And once again, congratulations on being one of the first Latinas elected to statewide office on the Arizona Corporation Commission.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you so much for having me. This is a lot of fun.
We are so proud of you.
Thank you.
And I'll see you at Miracle.
Absolutely. Happy to help again this year.
Have a great day.
You too.
That does it for this week's Tucson's Hispanic Voices. In support of Tucson's Hispanic Voices, please make sure to support our sponsors, MPG Tire and Auto, going the extra mile for you and your vehicle, Nova Home Loans, the best combination of rates, fees, and services since 1980, the law office of Natalie H. Haywood, she's more than just a criminal defense attorney, she's an advocate for human rights, and theme music composed by local guitarist Gabriel Francisco Romo. Make sure to tune in to Tucson's Hispanic Voices every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on KVOI 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Nunez. See you on the radio next week.